From One World Trade Center in Manhattan, overlooking dozens of golf courses that will never have us as members, this is the Golf Digest Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Digest Podcast. I'm Ryan Harrington, Deputy Editor of GolfDigest.com, joined by my colleagues Alex Myers and Steve Hennessy. The first round of the 145th Open Championship is wrapped up here at Royal Troon. And guys, when we arrived this morning at 7:30 a.m., I think we were all anxious to finally get things started and excited to get to see the great weather here, to see what would happen. And lo and behold, little did we know what was going to happen. Alex, just give me your general thoughts on Phil Mickelson and what he did today.
Yeah, well, it was incredible. I think we all expected some low scores today. It was about as easy as it could play at Royal Troon. But, you know, there weren't any crazy low scores early. But then, you know, Phil in the afternoon gets it going, and you just thought he wasn't going to keep it going. At the end, he hit that bad drive on 18. But everybody in the media center ran out, of course, to try to see him make some history. And unfortunately, he came up just short. But, man, what an incredible round. That curse of not being able to break 63 in a major lives on, and just that was an amazing day. My stomach is still kind of churning from watching that.
Steve, you know, you were out there watching that final putt. Did you think it was going to go in?
I thought so, and man, his reaction was priceless. And bones dropped to the ground. It could have been a history making moment, and still was something memorable for everyone there watching. So. It's still a great round, and he's in position to still make history. He'd be the third oldest major champion if he gets it done this week. So it's crazy to watch.
Well, obviously it was a great start for him. You know, he's had real success here at Royal Troon in 2004, and during his press conference after the round today, he really mentioned that was the tournament that kind of inspired him to play well and really enjoy and embrace Lynx golf. That said, you know, Alex, were you surprised that he seemed to be at such at ease today, the way he handled things out there?
Yeah, well, you know, if you were going to pick one guy to shoot a 63 or 62 and a half, whatever you want to call it, I wouldn't have picked Phil Mickelson. I mean, he mentioned 2004 as being a turning point in his Lynx career. And, of course, 2013 he won the Scottish Open and then the Open at Muirfield. But other than that, it's a pretty spotty record, and
sure.
but again, today was not the typical open condition, so I guess in that regard it helped. Someone joked to him that it was like a typical day in Rancho Santa Fe for him more than really being Scottish weather. So I guess this was the day where anyone, and in particular Phil Mickelson, could shoot a 63 at the Open, but still I don't think you could have predicted a 63, and really, again, so close to a 62.
Well, what's interesting too is, you know, because Phil's missed the cut at the Masters and at the U.S. Open, at the Players, you don't think of him necessarily having this great year so far in 2016. But he's played really well. I mean, should we be surprised that he came out and he grabbed the lead here? Do you think, Steve?
No, he's ranked fifth in scoring average this year. He's played great. Should have won at Pebble Beach. Could have if he made that putt. Vaughn Taylor ends up taking it.
I mean, he's got five top five finishes this year.
Playing great, so not really surprised. It was kind of a matter of time before Phil was going to put it all together in a big event this year.
You know, what do you think it does for him psychologically going into the next couple days, Alex? Because obviously such a high with shooting the round, actually really disappointed. You could see it, I think, in his face in that post-round press conference, how he knew that 62 would be a unique history that he could claim for himself. And he even said, obviously, it'll probably sting more than when he missed a lip out for a 59 at the Phoenix Open a couple years ago. What do you think this does for him now, and how do you think he reacts to it over the course of the next couple days?
Yeah, well, he said that the toughest part is going to be managing expectations now going forward. I mean, he did this in the first round. There's still three more rounds of this tournament. He's now clearly the favorite. Everybody's almost expecting him to win, but he knows there's a lot more golf. The weather could get crazy. You never know. But yeah, exactly. I think that's why it's almost like having that undefeated season or the Golden State Warriors breaking the record. He wanted a piece of history for sure before he moved on to win the whole thing. And if he had become the only player to ever shoot 62 in a major, I think this week would have been a success no matter what.
Yeah. You know, what was interesting is Tuesday night, Phil was out on the first green, and he was there alone and just taking putts, trying putts for almost an hour. And he said later on that it was working on his lag putting, and obviously I think that was as impressive as anything. He held a lot of long putts, but he had a lot of nice lag putts that allowed him to stay in the round. You know, the putting seems to go in and out sometimes with him. Steve, do you think he's found something? Do you think this can carry over? Or yeah, I'm curious what you think about him going forward.
Well, it seems to always be putting with him. He's always trying something different, whether it's the right hand low, you know, a different little tip that he picks up from Dave Pelz or whoever he's working with. So maybe he did find something, because he was out there late on a Tuesday night at a major, which is different for him. He obviously had something that he was working on. So it's definitely clicked today, and I bet he'll keep it going come the weekend.
Before Mickelson went out and shot a 63, a couple other young Americans were the story of the day. You guys both wrote about them. Specifically, Patrick Reed came out. He shot a 66. And here's another guy who has had a good year but hasn't really done anything to stand out necessarily. What was your takeaway from Patrick's round?
Yeah, well, I think we've all been waiting to see Patrick play well in a major. His best finish in 10 previous starts is a T14 at the 2015 U.S. Open. So despite, you know, the four wins that he got at a pretty early age, he hasn't done well in the majors. But he came out today. Obviously, it helps. He jarred a 139-yard shot for an eagle on the third hole.
That always helps, doesn't it? Yeah.
That kind of got him going. And from there, it was just a bunch of club twirl after club twirl. And I talked to him after about it. He said it's kind of his normal reaction to do that, but he even got so bold today that he did a one-handed club twirl, which I don't think has ever been done before in golf history. He didn't even realize he'd done it, so that's how locked in.
You see, we did have golf history made today.
There was golf history, so first one-handed club twirl ever. So, no, I think he was definitely the story early on. Obviously, he's gonna get lost in the shuffle with Phil Mickelson, but again, he has to be feeling good. He came to play the Scottish Open last week. He got acclimated to the weather and the time change and everything else over here. And, you know, it's funny. He said he's disappointed with his season thus far, despite being trailing only Dustin Johnson in top 10s, because he doesn't have a win. He said, I don't play to get top 10s. I play to win. And he hasn't had a win since last January. So it's about time. He's pretty due as well.
Well, it's interesting, too, because at the start of the week here, when the news broke that Dustin Johnson wasn't going to play in the Olympics, that meant that Patrick mm-hmm. Reed got that spot. And I think that's something that pumped him up. I think he had thought about trying to be on this Olympic team and knew he was on the outside looking in beforehand. So maybe there's a little bit of a shot of adrenaline or something that came from that this week, too. And lo and behold, obviously, he played well today. Steve, you wrote about the other young American that played well today, Justin Thomas. He was a rookie at the British Open playing his first time. It goes out and he birdies the first four holes of the round, shoots a 67. What was your impression about his play?
What a way to start. You wouldn't really think of Justin Thomas as a guy who's a British Open type player. He's someone who goes on birdie binges on a soft course, hits the ball high. But he came out and took advantage of the scoring conditions early and kept it going. He had a couple, you know, gut check moments on the 11th hole. He had to get up and down for a bogey, he thought, from the bunker at 11 and hold it out for a par. So that was an amazing moment. He just seems really relaxed. You know, we're kind of waiting for the breakout from him, and people thought he might make the Ryder Cup team this year, but he's pretty outside in points. But a performance like this is going to catch the attention and make him a decent possibility for the Ryder Cup team. So really impressive start, and we'll see if he can keep it going.
You know, he's part of that Brett pack, if you will, now with Ricky Fowler and with Jordan Spieth and Smiley Kaufman, the spring break guys, if you will. And obviously being close with Jordan and seeing what happened with him last year and Ricky, and obviously the success that Ricky's had, you know, what does that do for Justin, do you think? And what kind of impression do you get in terms of whether that might rub off on him?
Yeah, it's definitely inspiring. He thinks he's as good as those guys that he's friends with. You know, he's playing with them all the time. And probably some of their, you know, their poise and their presence is kind of rubbed off a little bit. Not that he needs it. He's talented in his own right. But, yeah, I think there's definitely something to that. He, you know, wants to belong in terms of that the upper echelon of young, talented tour pros that are up and coming. And something like this and a great performance at Troon this week would do that.
You know, despite the ideal scoring conditions, the top four players in the world, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy, all had sort of so-so rounds. Spieth and Johnson shot even par 71s. McIlroy shot a 2 under 69, but that could have been even lower if he didn't have a double bogey bogey stretch on the back nine. And then Jason Day, the world number one, shot his second straight disappointing opening round in a major when he had a 2-over-73 here. Who among them do you think, and this is for either of you guys, has the best chance of getting back into the hunt after kind of a middling opening round?
I'd say Dustin Johnson. You know, he is the most confident player in the field this week. He said at his press conference that if he plays his best, he knows he's going to win. He thinks he's the best player in the world right now. He thinks he's going to get to number one in the world at some point. I think that today, you know, he was a little off. He had a terrible shot on the first hole, which
That was so bad.
Which is, yeah, and that's one of the
start.
Easiest holes on. Yeah, he was lucky to even find his ball. I think that got him rattled a little. And but I just think that the course is very soft right now, which plays to Rory McIlroy's advantage. But the weather is going to get nasty tomorrow, and that doesn't play to Rory's advantage. I think Dustin, with his ball flight and everything else, and coming off the run that he's had, and being able to win the U.S. Open, which is probably the toughest test in golf, I think he'll be able to handle whatever comes his way better than those other guys the next few days.
Steve, yeah. What do you think?
I mean, Day is far back, 2 over. He's 10 back of Phil, as of now. So I wouldn't rule out Spieth. He's 8 back, even par. He's someone who could handle the mental challenge and, you know, scrape across a couple birdies when no one else is making them. But
terrible putting today. 33 putts for Spieth.
That's no bueno. You don't see that from Spieth. But, you know, they have their work cut out for him. A lot of red numbers today, and they didn't take advantage of these calm conditions out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I think I would side with Spieth as the guy to bounce back, you know, just because it was such an awkward and unusual putting day for him. You know, I think ultimately, you know, that's the one thing that he's got over these other guys, maybe not over Jason Day necessarily, but over Rory and over Dustin right now, that could at least he can go back to and say, listen, I fixed that. I just have a normal day and I shoot a little bit of better score here. So that said, let's look at the reverse. Which one of the four do you think unfortunately maybe played their way out of contention? Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Jason Day did. And maybe Dustin too. I feel like he ends today pretty disappointed, and, you know, seeing all the red numbers out there coming off of this hot stretch he's had, it's going to be tough tomorrow with these expected conditions on Friday. So not that he played himself out by any means, but he, you know, mentally, I think that took a toll on him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think they're all disappointed with their rounds, but nobody's out of it. Again, right. The weather, we just don't know how bad it could be. That could totally change everything, and it could totally flip on what side of the draw you're on.
Sure.
As well tomorrow. We don't even know really if the morning or the afternoon's going to be worse or what. And we have no idea what, you know, sure, if you look up there right now and Phil Mickelson's 8 under, but who knows? He even said tomorrow over par might be a great score. And if that's the case and the lead is somewhere around 6 or 5 tomorrow, you know, anything around par going into the weekend, you're right in the ballgame. So none of those guys should feel that bad. But yes, they did let a perfect day of scoring slip away.
You know, from my standpoint, I was really surprised with Jason Day, and I do wonder, you know, in listening to his comments after the round, he talked about how he was missing it the opposite way that he thought he would. He just didn't seem to have a good sense of what was going on with the swing. It's something that he's talented enough to be able to fix. And you know, I was extremely impressed, obviously, at Oakmont with the way he was able to come back. But whether he's going to be able to do that again this time around, I think the mental strain of that, as much as anything, might get to him. But like you said, you know, the weather is this unknown factor. And that's what I want to get to before we close out the podcast. You know, the story of the day, obviously, was Mickelson. But it also was how exceptional the weather was today. And nobody really had expected to have this good a day, you know, for the guys that have played at the Scottish Open. They had miserable weather all weekend, so to actually see sun come out, no wind like we had today, it sounds like it's a far cry from what we're going to be getting tomorrow, if not over the weekend. You know, the forecast looks like rain and wind in the morning and then maybe some more wind in the afternoon. How does that impact things, do you think? You know, does that change the mindset of players? Alex, where do they go from here?
Well, yeah, I think they should all know that they're going to have to be extremely patient. Again, you cannot look at Phil 63 and think you're going to have to go shooting low to catch up to him. You just have to be patient and trust that guys are going to come back a little. It's going to be a slog for everyone. Like Phil said, he doesn't mind if it's tough. He just wants it to be tough for everybody. You just don't want it to be one half gets a real break or not. But again, it looks like it's going to be bad for everyone tomorrow. So, you know, stay patient. Don't think about going low and just hope to hang in there and survive till the weekend.
Steve, what do you think?
I think today was an amazing weather day. 70 degrees. I didn't need a rain jacket.
I wish we'd played today.
Seriously. Could have been out there with a short sleeve shirt. There are people in shorts on the course. Yeah. I mean, this is the British Open.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect that. No. I think it's going to be quite different come the weekend. And, you know, people at home will get to see what they come to expect from a British Open.
Yeah, you know, and it's great to have days like this. But I think we all want to see the bad weather too.
I was going to
say
the same.
We don't want to play in it, but we want to see them play.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. You know, today was an awesome day to see Phil do what he did to get this round underway and get this tournament underway. But when we think of the British Open, we think of a little bit less San Diego-like weather and a little bit more Scottish-type weather. And hopefully that'll be in store for the next couple of days.
Sure.
Well, thanks for everybody for listening to the podcast today. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll try to bring something to you after each round here from Troon. It's been a lot of fun so far, and we're looking forward to the next couple of days. So for Alex Myers and Steve Hennessy, this is Ryan Harrington saying thanks for listening to the Golf Digest podcast.